Good morning, everyone. Thankful to the Lord that we can still gather, though not physically, that we can gather and knowing that the Lord is with each and every one of us. Just pause for a moment and just reflect on that. That as we each sit in our different locations looking at a screen, maybe even not on Sunday morning, maybe later in the week, that the Lord is with each and every one of us. And so we are united as one because of our faith in Christ. It's just a beautiful reality that God is everywhere and he is with each and every one of us. Because we are not gathering together in person this morning, we wanted to put a pause on our sermon series going through the Old Testament. We will pick that back up again, Lord willing, next week. And we'll do a little recap next week also, just because it's, you know, we haven't gathered in a few weeks. And I want us to all kind of catch up put, you know, the whole purpose of doing the study in the Old Testament is to look at the forest for the tree so we can place each of the trees in their proper place with individual passages. And as we're looking at the forest, we'll take a little bit of a step back as part of that, just to kind of recap where we've been and then proceed forward also. So I wanted to do a meditation this morning, a sermon this morning on a passage that is comes from the lectionary. And so this is a scripture readings every day of the year that are used by Christians throughout the world. Tends not to be part of our tradition here at First Baptist Holliston, but it is something that many Christians look to, and so it helps us have daily readings all the time. And Michael read this morning, one of the passages he read was from Psalm 1. And our passage this morning I wanted to look at is a very similar theme, very similar message as Psalm 1. And that's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. So if you would turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to get more to who Jeremiah is as we continue going through the Old Testament, but he is a prophet. He is prophesying to, if you kind of remember some of where we've been here, to the southern kingdom of Judah. And the prophets were sent as messengers from God. Sometimes prophets would send a message about the future, what would happen in the future. And I think that tends to be what we think mostly the prophets are saying, that they're predicting the future or declaring what will come in the future. And that does happen, but that's not their main purpose. Their main purpose is to speak into the current situation that's going on in the present day, and they're there to warn. They're sent by God to warn the people of what's going on within their hearts, of what's going on within their nation and the peoples around them when they turn away from God. So it's a warning of judgment, and it's a call to repentance, a call to repent of the very nature of their hearts. And this morning's passage, we're going to see some of that in a very general setting. I think for our purposes this morning, we can take it out of its context, but I wanted to, you know, place it in some context there for us. And this is a message that I think resonates throughout the history of God's people. And it's really asking the question, what do we trust? Wherein lies our hope, our faith, our trust? Now, I think that's a difficult question for us to answer. when we say at first, what do we trust? I think our brains try to give the correct answers. And we try to think of, and even if we're not Christians, even, you know, in any context, we try to think, well, what's the right answer? What should I be trusting in? As opposed to what I'm actually trusting in. I think we need to try to reflect on our lives in good situations, in difficult situations, to really start to dig into what we're actually trusting in our day-to-day lives, what we're actually looking to in our day-to-day lives. This passage this morning is going to lay out two different ways to live and call out the curses of living one way and the blessings of living another. Please look at Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll look at verses 5 through 10 this morning. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is God's word. This passage opens with, thus says the Lord. This is often the message of the prophets. They dare to speak God's words, not on their own, not words that they think the people need to hear. A lot of times the prophets don't particularly want to give these words because it's very difficult, very challenging words. This comes right from the Lord. And that's how our passage opens. Thus says the Lord. The first part of this passage in verses 5 and 6 talks about trusting in mankind, in humans, in ourselves. And it's not pulling any punches, it's not being vague, it's not being subtle, it just comes right out and says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Now this is, you know, these are not intended to be gendered, these are applying to all people, trusting in people. Cursed is that person. And we need to think and reflect and meditate before the Lord on what does it mean to trust in humans? Because it says that cursed is the person that is that does that. And so I want to know what that even looks like, what that would mean. I think that can mean many things. I think really in this context, it refers to trusting in anything besides God. But there are many things that we trust in, that we look to for our safety, for our security, for our prosperity. We can look to the strength of our own hands, of our own arms. Things that we can build and we can do and we can provide and strength is fleeting. We're strong when we are young, and We grow old and we get weak, or we get sick and we get weak, or we are strong in one area and we're weak in other areas. If we're lying on our own strength, we compare ourselves to those around us and we assess if we are successful or a failure. Trusting in our own physical resources, our own abilities, our own capabilities. God says that cursed is that person. Maybe we trust in our brains, our intellect. We're definitely here in a culture that values intellect in many ways. It's a way that is seen to succeed in this world, to create provision, to create significance, to create meaning. If you are able to use your intellect over others around you, better than others, then there is a way that you provide for yourself, provide for your family, the way that you find purpose. I think for many of us, we look and trust in, and I think we'll deny this, but I think we look and trust in government. Doesn't matter which side of the political aisle we're on, we look to the government as ways to provide for us, to satisfy us, to meet our needs. We trust in them to create for us a life of prosperity and peace. I'm not refuting that's the government's purpose. It is. But if we're trusting in another person, in ourselves, in a system or an institution in this world, if we're trusting in that for our ultimate purpose, ultimate provision, our ultimate soul, deep heart satisfaction. If we run to humans when we are afraid, and we're trusting in man. God describes now in verse 6, what that person is like who trusts in a man, trusts in human abilities. Is there like a shrub in the desert? They dwell in a parched place in the wilderness. And so the image there is of something trying to live, trying to thrive, and not having any of the resources that it needs. That its environment creates one in which this organism, plant, meant to thrive, actually dies. And so the picture is when we trust in human ability, human provision, it will fail us. That all the systems are ultimately, and all the people we know ultimately, and even our own selves ultimately, cannot provide for our deepest physical, emotional, and certainly spiritual needs that we have. We will wither like a shrub in the desert. Well, next, the Lord goes on to tell us the opposite, the other way of living, and that is trusting in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8, blessed now, not cursed, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I want to pause right there. I know we've talked about this a number of times in the past, but it kind of fits into our study in the Old Testament here. If you look in your English translations, I assume most of you are reading English translations this morning, the word Lord there in verse 7, it's actually used twice. The word Lord throughout this passage, but in those two, in that verse, those two uses in this verse particularly, you see they're all capitalized, right? In our English Bibles, when they capitalize the word Lord, all four, not just the L, but all four letters are capitalized, it's telling us that that is the Hebrew word Yahweh, or God's name. And God's name has so much meaning. This is who he reveals himself to Moses. I am is a translation of that, right? I am who I am is a translation of Yahweh, God's name. Part of the name Yahweh, part, it's not the sum total. I don't want to minimize all that God is saying when he says his name. But part of that is him declaring that he is a God of covenants. We've been looking at covenants throughout the Old Testament. These are the way that God interacts with his people. And when he uses his name Yahweh, he is putting himself, his character, his very nature on the line of our relationship. It is one of the ways that he promises, if you remember, like he made to Abraham, that he will keep the covenant he makes with us, even when we break it. Yahweh is a covenant-keeping God, King, that his loving kindness will not be cut off from us, that he keeps his covenant. And so he's reminding us, calling to our attention who he is. Blessed is the one who trusts in the God who seeks us out, makes a covenant with us because he loves us so much, and promises to hold us in the palm of his hand no matter what. Who promises to love us and keep us as part of his family. So that in the parable of the prodigal son, when the son says to the father, I don't want to be your child anymore, I just wish you were dead, and leaves, the father never gives up on the son. Never. The father waits and receives the son back and doesn't just sit there and scold him and make him a servant and make him pay for all the mistakes and sins that he's caused. No, he welcomes him home and says, this is my son, you are my child. That's a picture of who our God is and his love and relationship to us. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. That means that we hope in God, that we look to God, that all of our life, all that is included with physical life, emotional life, spiritual life, that we look to our Lord, that we hope in him as the one who provides everything, who meets all our needs, who knows our needs much better than we do. And he equips and empowers and enables us in his strength to do things, to go out and work and think and love and laugh and suffer and grieve. But it's not out of our own well of resources. It's out of his strength and our intimate connection in him. He describes what this person is like in verse 8. They're like a tree planted by water that sends its roots out by the stream. In other words, that when hard times come, when the storm comes and the wind batters against it and snow and ice fall and take the limbs of the tree and the winds try to knock it down, it's not going anywhere. When the storms of life come, this tree who trusts in the Lord, this person who trusts in the Lord is not shaken, is not moved, is not anxious, even when there's a time of drought, it says, and a year of drought, not anxious, not upset, not fearful, not worried, because they trust in Yahweh. Our passage closes then in verses 9 and 10. Reminding us, calling to our attention that God knows our hearts, declares what is true for all people, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. We deceive ourselves. Our hearts trick us into thinking we're actually trusting in the Lord when in practice we're trusting in the things of our own ability. Our heart tricks us into thinking that what we're doing is really good and for God, but it actually is selfish, self-focused. And so it asks the question at the end of verse 9, there is, who can understand it? And there is a way in which we cannot fully understand our own hearts, our own motives. I think we should strive to. Seeking the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us throughout our lives in knowing our own hearts, knowing our own thoughts and what's going on. But there's always going to be a portion that we are unable to fully understand. But God knows. God knows our hearts. God seeks and tests, it says in verse 10, our minds. And that can be fearful. Boy, God knows what's really going on in my heart when I'm speaking to someone and I'm having catty thoughts in my minds about them, or when I'm really being critical of someone, when I'm talking behind someone's back, when I'm espousing trust in God with my mouth, but really in the deep recesses of my mind, I'm looking for some other way to meet what I want, meet my needs, get what I want in any given moment. God knows all of that. But there also is peace in knowing that God knows our hearts. That God understands the struggles, the troubles, the grief, the trials that we're going through. God knows our needs that we have, not just for food, though that too, but our needs for love, for acceptance, for compassion. Our need to be understood. God knows all of that. And God is there to meet all of our needs if we just trust in Him. This passage is summarized in a way in Psalm 20, verse 7, I believe, where it says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some look to earthly things for their protection and defense. But God calls us and says, those things will not meet your needs. God alone will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love for us, your knowing us. And I thank you for your goodness. All these things in this world, oh Lord God, they feel like they will satisfy. More money, more fame, more strength. But I thank you, Lord, that you, as who you are what truly meets our needs. And out of your great love, you give us all. We thank you for Jesus, who in our lostness came after us in love and gave his life for us. Help us, O Lord God, to trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.